Good morning. My name is Avril, and I welcome all of you who are listening to this service. We find ourselves in strange times, and we're doing our best to enable the Western Heights Uniting Church community to worship together, even when we can't gather. We're all on a very steep learning curve, so please be patient with us. We affirm the diversity of our community, represented in age, gender, sexuality, culture, and ability. We affirm that all people are welcome and trust that you will find Western Heights Uniting Church to be a safe place for you to grow in God's love and experience a warm community. We are a community committed to loving God, growing together, partnering community, and sharing faith. As we worship together, we remember the original custodians of this land, the Wadawurrung, and ask for God's grace to join with them in being good stewards of this land, its waters, and diverse communities. One of the strange things about Christianity is that we believe that there is life after death, that death is not the end of life. In the time of Jesus, some Jews believed this, but many didn't. And if you read the Hebrew scriptures, you will find lots of places where the writers assume that the only way someone could live on after death was by having lots of descendants who remembered their name. But Christians believe that in the resurrection of Jesus, we have seen the first sign of what will be true for all of us. In today's Bible story, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." And that is the hope that the church offers at every funeral, the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. Because we are so certain that death is not the end, we also believe that the church, the community of God's people, includes the dead as well as the living. The dead are, in the Apostle Paul's words, the great cloud of witnesses who are cheering us on as they watch us run the race that they have already completed. Those who are dead and so are no longer with us are still with God and so are still part of the community of God's people. Often one of the first prayers we offer in a worship service is a prayer of confession in which we acknowledge some of what we have done wrong and ask for God's forgiveness. This is because one of the things that all human beings share is our tendency to muck stuff up. All of us do things of which we are ashamed, things that we wish we hadn't done, and that's just part of being human. Acknowledging that at the beginning of a service wipes the slate clean. We know that God forgives us for anything we have done wrong, and having confessed our wrongdoing and hearing of God's forgiveness, we're able to worship God with clean hands and an open heart. And so let us bring our confession to God. Let us pray. Loving God, in Jesus you came to liberate us from everything that imprisons us. But too often we remain like Lazarus, with our hands and feet bound and our faces hidden. We're trapped by so many things, pride in what we own and what we can do, despair at our failures and the things we do wrong, prejudice against others because they aren't like us, fears of the future that prevent us following you in freedom. We let these things chain us, even when they raise a stench in our lives. And yet to everything that binds us, Jesus says, "Unbind them and let them go." Help us, loving God, to live freely as your children, those who have been liberated by your love. Amen. Jesus has promised us new life. The powers of death have been defeated. That new life can start here and now because all our sins have been forgiven. And so together we can all say, "Thanks be to God." There's going to be a video on the church's website, prepared by one of the congregation's families telling the story of Jesus' raising of Lazarus. So if you like, you could pause the recording at this point to watch that. But for those of you who don't have access to videos, I will also read today's story. It's from chapter 11 in the Gospel according to John. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who were with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to a tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I've said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. The picture book I've chosen to go with this reading is called If All the World Were by Joseph Coelho and Alison Colpoys. And again, there's a video on the church's Vimeo site if you'd like to watch it. But for those of you without access to it, I'll read it. It's spring. I take long walks with my granddad. I hold his giant hand. He says, You're too old to hold hands. We explore, hand in hand, the budding springtime. If all the world were springtime, I would replant my granddad's birthdays so that he would never get old. It's summer. Granddad buys me a racing track. It's second hand with missing bits. We fix what we can together. We use our hands to zoom the cars up and down, up and down, up, 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 and fire them off into deep space. If all the world were deep space, I'd orbit my granddad like the moon, and our laughs would be shooting stars. It's autumn. My granddad makes me a notebook with handmade paper of brown and orange leaves that rustle when I turn the page, bound with ruby Indian leather string. Granddad gives me a pencil with a rainbow nib. Write and draw all your dreams. If all the world were dreams, I would mix my bright granddad feelings and paint them over sad places. It's winter. My granddad tells me tales from when he was a boy, of Indian sweets and homemade toys. There are ships, snakes, and tigers in his story. If all the world were stories, I could make my granddad better just by listening to every tale he has to tell. But some tales are silent. I help Mum and Dad clean out Granddad's room. I find dried blue flowers between book pages, a yellow toy racing car glued to a piece of track, a length of ruby Indian leather string, a ball of silver foil from every sweet he ever ate, an open pack of rainbow-nibbed pencils, a kaleidoscope of memories. If all the world were memories, the past would be rooms I could visit, and in each room would be my granddad. On granddad's chair is a new notebook, newly made with spring petal paper, newly bound with the length of Indian string. My name is written on the front. It's new and empty and was made by my granddad. So I write and draw, and write and draw, and write all my granddad memories inside. I write and draw lots of different worlds, and all of them have my granddad, smiling and laughing, laughing, laughing. He says, You're too old to hold hands. but still I hold his giant hand, and we explore hand in hand. The end. I have written a proper sermon, which has been sent out, but it feels very strange preaching a sermon to an empty church, because sermons are meant to be interactive media. So what I'm going to do is just talk instead. I first preached on this passage about the raising of Lazarus 15 years ago in 2005, when I was the pastoral care coordinator and a residential tutor at Janet Clark Hall, which is one of the university colleges of the University of Melbourne. Over that Easter holiday, three of our students were killed in a car accident. And we used part of this reading at the memorial service we held for them. We didn't use all of it. We ended at verse 35, which is Jesus began to weep, because we couldn't go any further. We wanted to complain with some of those in the story, those who said, if Jesus opened the eyes of the blind man, couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? And that was our question too. Why on earth had these three amazing young people been killed? The only possible comfort that anyone at that service could accept was that Jesus was crying with us. There are times when this story of the raising of Lazarus seems to mock our grief. Every single person we love will die, and sometimes those deaths don't come peacefully at the end of long lives. And sometimes the only comfort that the Bible can offer us is the faith that God mourns with us, that as we weep, Jesus also weeps. But this story doesn't end there with Jesus weeping outside the tomb, even if sometimes that's all we can hear. This story is a story about the triumph of faith and love over darkness and death. Because if the story was simply about the raising of Lazarus, then it wouldn't be a hope for the rest of us. None of our loved ones are going to come back as Lazarus comes back to Mary and Martha. But this is the Gospel according to John, and so, of course, it's not just a story about them. It's a symbolic story. Everything in the Gospel according to John is symbolic. So this story is a foreshadowing of Jesus' death. Jesus brings Lazarus back to life, and as a result, Jesus himself will be put to death. Good Friday. But then we believe that God raised Jesus, just as Jesus raised Lazarus. We believe that, as Jesus says in this story, he is the resurrection and the life, and he is that for all of us. As Christians, we don't believe that death is the end of our story. At every Christian funeral, we remember the resurrection of Jesus and we commend those who have died to God in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. The pain of death is real. Jesus began to weep. But the hope of resurrection is also part of our faith. In this story of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, we see both the pain and the hope, the grief and the glory. The lectionary has been brilliant in giving us this reading this week, because we are living in frightening times. We are living in unprecedented times. We are facing a situation none of us have ever encountered before. And we are probably facing the death of many Australians from COVID-19. It's very unlikely that this community will be left untouched by it. Whenever a death is sudden and unexpected and tragic, it is very hard to feel anything beyond pain and grief. But Easter Sunday reminds us that there is also hope and glory. This is what we believe. This is what's at the heart of Christian faith. Even when we can't feel any hope or see any glory, the church holds that hope and glory for us and offers it to us. So even in these times that are dark and dangerous and bring so much fear and anxiety, we have the hope. We hold on to the hope that we will see the glory of God. Amen. I've written a prayer for us to say together every week during the crisis, so I invite you to join with me. Let us pray. Loving God, we know that nothing can separate us from you. Surround us with your love during this time of crisis. Be with every member of the Western Heights community. Give us the courage, the patience, and the kindness we will need in the weeks ahead. Reassure us that we are still gathered together through you, even when we cannot meet. We pray for all those still working in the community through this crisis, all the medical staff, the emergency services workers, the supermarket employees and freight workers, and those who must find new ways of working from home. And we pray for those who have lost their jobs, who are facing an uncertain future. We pray for the homeless and those in insecure housing, for whom self-isolation will be almost impossible, and for those whose homes are not safe places, who will face domestic violence during this time. We pray for our leaders, for Scott Morrison and Daniel Andrews, for Chief Medical Officers Brendan Murphy and Brett Sutton, and for all those who must make the difficult decisions to keep us safe. Loving God, we know that we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Help us to continue to be that body in this difficult time. In the name of your Son, our Lord, Mother and Friend, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen." Before I bless you, a notice: we will be sending services and sermons out. We will be putting a version of them on the website. There will be videos on the church's new Vimeo site. And hopefully next week we will have music, as well as me talking. So hopefully next week it will not just be wall-to-wall my voice. God bless the sun that is above us, the earth that is beneath us, the day that lies before us, your image deep within us. Stay safe, everyone. Blessings to you. Goodbye.